What's going on, everybody? It's time for another edition of Yeah, I Said It. I'm Jesse Shaduce, and this dope motherfucker next to me...
Come on, Camden Knox. I thought, yeah, I did it again.
Dropping it down on you. We're going to kick a little podcast action for you. So what's going on, man? How you been since last week?
I've been pretty good, man. Just been playing some Black Ops, trying to get my diamond camo still stuck on that three-round burst submachine gun. Oh.
See, now how are you going to have a submachine gun with a three-round burst? Like, I would figure that, like, the submachine guns would all be full auto.
Well, this one, when you get select fire, becomes a lot easier. A lot easier.
Yeah.
But the three-round burst, man, it really takes some getting used to, and I didn't. I just used it until I got my select fire, and now headshots are rolling in.
I got to tell you, just got the expansion today, the new DLC, the Revolution Pack.
Yeah.
And the new gun that they've got for it, I tried it out, the Peacekeeper, yeah. Holy shit, does that gun kick back. Like, hard. Yeah, I mean, yes, it's a submachine gun that fires with the accuracy of an assault rifle.
And range.
And range of an assault rifle, if you have the stock and the handle grip, okay? Because if you don't, like, I'm having a hard time leveling it up because it fucking kicks, man. It's a really learning curve type of gun.
Yeah, that one I actually haven't even touched. I really, really want this diamond camo. I kind of fucked myself over when I downloaded that DLC, because that's a whole other submachine gun I got to get 100 headshots for. And
oh, yeah, I guess that would count, right? Yeah,
I'm guessing so. We'll see.
Well, maybe.
We'll see. I've already seen people with diamond camo for it, and I didn't really ask them,
yeah,
like, if
they cheated.
That wouldn't count it along with it, or what's going on.
Well, maybe they already had the diamond camo when they downloaded the pack, so it automatically gave it to that.
One would hope so.
Well, because once you have the diamond camo, I wouldn't think you'd have to, you know, get 100 headshots with that just to put it on there.
I don't know. I don't know exactly how that would work out. Did you try the maps?
Yeah, man. I think Grind and the Dam are probably my two favorites. Downflow, I think it's called. Is that what it's called? The one with the dam?
Oh, dude. No, Hydro.
Hydro. That's it. Hydro. I'm thinking downhill for the snow
map.
Yeah,
downhill.
Downflow. Downflow!
Nah, Hydro I like a lot.
Yeah.
The whole deal where the water comes in and washes all the enemy, or anybody, basically, that's over there out... doesn't happen nearly as often as I expected it to.
Right.
But it's still really cool when it does happen.
Oh, I dig it, man. Like, it reminds me of one of the Gears of War maps from Gears of War 2, Avalanche. Where the snow will come down and just take people out.
Yeah, but see, that one was cool in the respect that once the snow came down,
it stayed there.
And, like,
yeah,
you had access to other parts of the map you didn't before.
Well, yeah, and I think that would be neat, that, like, if the water, like, the valve turned on, you know, to let the overflow, like, to get it out... and it stayed on for, like, the rest of that part of the match, it changes the dynamic now of that map a little bit and makes you think about things a little bit differently.
Also, when you're playing objectives, like hardpoint,
right,
one of the hardpoints is literally just the opening where that water flows from.
Yeah.
And if the water is flowing, you can only stand on the side of the ramp leading up to the water. So if you go forward, one step too much, you're dead.
Yeah, you're done.
So you're, like, out in the open, just taking fire. It's crazy.
I did get killed by a ski lift on yeah.
I had to try. I was like, is it going to push me back, or is it going to... Oh, yeah, it killed me.
That wasn't even part of my plan. I was running through the building, you know, where they recycle and start again.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize there's one, like, moving, and I'm running by that little window where it goes out of, and it just knocks me the fuck off. And my body just goes flying into the snow somewhere.
I'm, like, walking up to it, I'm like, I wonder, does this knock me back? It kills me, you pussy.
It instantly kills you no matter where you're at?
Yes.
Okay, I thought maybe it just knocked me off because I was outside.
Now, it doesn't kill you from the side, so you can basically, like, walk into it.
Right, right. Yeah, that son of a bitch just killed me. I'm not a huge fan of downhill right now. I may grow to like it. Every time I've played it, I basically spawn, move 3 feet, and a sniper gets me. It's definitely a sniper-centric map Yeah. As far as I'm concerned.
That, and they just need to work on the spawning in general. It happened to me at least 5 times today where the person that killed me actually saw me spawn. I go to watch a kill cam, and I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, man.
And people that did it, they were telling me, they're like, dude, I'm sorry. We're playing free-for-all. If I see somebody, I'm shooting them. You know, I feel bad for you because I saw you spawn. I feel your pain, but fuck, dude, I'm trying to get 30 kills.
Yeah, well, you know, in free-for-all, I won't get as mad. But, like, when I spawn in a team deathmatch and I get shot from behind, like, as soon as I spawn...
Yeah, it's that's, like, spawn that's, me by my team,
that
please.
That sucks, you know? And now... Your team will spawn on you as long as you stay behind, you know, in your spawn area, and you can keep spawning from that spot. But so many people rush completely forward and flip the spawn so fast that yep. by the time you're in a, like a little spot and you're kind of semi-camped and you're shooting some guys, and the next thing you know, there's a guy coming up the stairs behind you that literally spawned over there because the rest of your team just flipped the fucking spawn.
Yeah.
And that can be annoying. I'm not such a huge fan of that.
Yeah, in general, I'm digging all the new maps.
I'm not
liking them as much right off the bat as I liked the DLC from the first Black Ops.
Right.
First Black Ops, like, day one, I was in love with each and every one of those map packs.
I really like Grind, though.
Grind is a whole lot of fun.
Because I put a turret in one of those windows that aims down over that one yeah. little open area inside the building.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, and it seriously, man, it was like a death funnel because all my guys, we were up top, and two guys were watching the back, and we were sitting up on the side in the hallway there by the stairs. So we were killing people that were coming up the sideway, the back door, and now with the turret in the window, and it was just... death magnetic. It
Son
was,
of a bitch.
Yeah, dude, it was nice, man. It was really nice. Mirage is pretty cool. I dig it. I kind of wish that maybe there was some sort of thing almost like in Hydro where, like, the sand would shift.
Yeah.
And it would, like, close off a little area, and then, like, you'd have to readjust or something. I do like the fact that they're starting to include some different, like, actual things that happen in the levels that make the levels a little bit more active and different.
Yeah.
And that's
actually
pretty cool.
In Mirage, if you notice, while you're outside, the wind is whipping the sand up,
yeah.
and you can't really make out your targets from
sometimes,
from a distance.
Yeah.
It gets to be you know, a little cloudy or whatever.
Well, it'd be cool though too if they actually did like a sandstorm for about like 5 seconds or something,
yeah.
where it just kind of came through like it does in Gears 3,
where you gotta be indoors or you get fucked up.
Well, right. Well, also like in the trench in the map, the trenches on Gears of War, like a dust storm kicks up and it's like,
oh yeah,
and it's like you can only see a couple of feet in front
oh,
of you.
Badass with the air horn.
Oh, dude, yeah. It's rad, man. I dig that about it. And you know, I think that's pretty cool. Oh, speaking of DLC, there's some new Mass Effect 3 DLC coming out.
Get out.
Nope. I haven't got all the specifics on it yet, but it looks like you're on like some sort of space casino deal. Like I saw like neon signs for casinos and all that kind of stuff. I think there's also going to be mini games for gambling.
Well, they already had one mini game for gambling.
Right.
There was actually a, if I'm not mistaken, a side quest where this guy was trying to find some kind of hack, and you had to help him out with that. Like, you had to play a certain number of rounds or win a certain number of hands, and...
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah.
It's interesting that they're touching on that more now. The last DLC for that I played was the Omega. Excellent expansion.
Yeah.
When Arya says... Nobody fucks with Arya. Nobody fucks with Arya. You actually get her in your party, and she's powerful.
You know, as much as I love Mass Effect, and I haven't gotten back into it. I was really so burned by the first ending that even though I've downloaded the extended cut, I just haven't had the same feeling to get back in and play it again. And go through that. Even though the DLC, I'm sure, is fantastic because BioWare always does a great job.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for an awesome ending, man. And when a game that I've played that's taken me on such an emotional journey, I mean, I teared up, man, when I was on the Krogan homeworld, man, and my boy Rex was by my side, and he called me his brother, and they were going to sing songs about me, and I was just like, oh my God, and Morton and sacrificed himself.
The name Shepard will be synonymous with hero or victor. Oh,
God damn it, man. It's just, it drew me in.
BioWare has a knack for giving me goosebumps, dude.
It drew me in hook, line, and sinker. I was fighting the battle like it was my last I would ever fight. I was in it, like I felt it, like there was pride on my chest when
Morton,
I got it
done. The man that engineered the genophage
cures it. And sacrifices himself.
And changes
the opinion of the Salarians throughout history now with the Krogan.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing. They were going to build a statue to Morton. And I think that's just... the game... And to go through all of that, to go through that whole emotional journey from the first game where you had to save Rex. And for those of you that let fucking Rex die...
Fuck you,
man. Are you kidding me? If you didn't go back and start from a save prior to that, you're an ass clown.
Yo, I'll admit, first time I had that conversation, I didn't know how it was supposed to pan out. So I was like, oh my God, I don't want to kill this guy.
No,
I don't want him to die.
God, no.
He died. What did I do? First thing, I turned my Xbox off. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was like, no, autosave, none of that.
None of that shit.
Go back to an old save. Let's try this again.
I lucked out. I had enough Renegade at the time to where I was able to handle it.
I had enough, but I just made the wrong selection.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I went back and saved him, and whew.
You can't lose Rex on Vermeier.
Nah, you gotta save him.
Okay, that's paramount because. Like, honestly, I don't even know how number 3 would even be remotely good without him and that whole part.
Trust me. If you do the default playthrough, he actually died on Vermeier. And, not cool.
No.
It's, I believe, his cousin or something like that.
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, that you're dealing
with. Rex Light? Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, Rex Light.
Yeah, I'll pass. You know what I mean?
Well, he's a douchebag, man. He actually tries to double-cross you.
Really?
Yeah. There's a part where I think you can actually rat him out. Like, he basically tells you, hey, you know, let's do this and fuck. I think they wanted to fuck the Salarians over or something.
So is he pissed off, though, that, like, basically that his cousin died under your watch? Is that really why he wants to fuck you over? Or is that part of the whole thing? Is that, do you get that out of it?
I think it's more that he's just power hungry. He just wants his clan to ascend. Douche.
So like I said, I haven't really been. It's gonna be a while, I think, before I pick it up.
it's too soon.
It's too soon for me because honestly, and I'm spoilers for any of you that haven't played this game or beat this game, but if Liara was not your main squeeze, I'm sorry, because I gotta tell you, she was mine through the entire series, man.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the love scene in number 3, which was making love, it was not a sex scene, it was making love, it was sensuous, it was two people that loved each other dearly, making love for what could be the last time before this epic, you know, battle takes place in the conclusion of the saga, and it was so tender, and I wanted to make blue babies with her. I told her I wanted to make blue babies.
I know. I wanted to see the blue babies at the ending.
And then you fucked me out of my blue babies. I get up there and some.
I
want to
fuck her into the blue babies. Yeah. You guys are fucking me out of the blue babies.
I get up there. First of all, let me tell you this. I take Garrus Valkarion with me because he's my fucking brosif. Okay, I take him with me, and I took one other guy, and I can't remember who it was. Doesn't matter.
Filler.
Okay, and I took him with me to fight the Reaper, and next thing I know, I'm fucking battered to hell, I'm bleeding out, and I'm the only one left. So fucking Garrus didn't make it, which, that's number one, fucking pisses me off. Number two, I get up there, and I get presented with some hologram little fucking kid that's controlling all these fucking Reapers, and he gives me 3 of the worst fucking choices in a video game that I have ever played. Let me tell you something, BioWare, and this is where you really let me down, and I love you, and I will still play all of your games because you're amazing company, and don't get me wrong, but when I play a game that epic, don't give me a choice in the fucking ending. Yeah. I know the game is all about choice, but have the balls to say, this is our ending. We are going to stick by this ending. You know, give me the option of whether or not I get a Paragon or Renegade ending, but give me the fucking ending and make it awesome. I don't want everyone I've ever cared about to lose me, because regardless, the only ending that you stay alive is the complete Renegade option. And then you basically destroy the entire galaxy's chances of communicating and getting around between their planets. And let's not forget, almost the entire galaxy is in orbit around Earth right now. So where the fuck are they going to go?
Yeah.
We're not all going to live on Earth. That ending just so disappointed me. I ended up picking the ending where I merge with the Reapers and everybody becomes half machine and half organic and... You know, the Normandy crash lands on some fucking rainforest planet. Liara gets out with Joker and everybody's got the cyber eyes. And, that's just not going to do it for me, man.
No.
And I waited till the end of the credits and then I was like, fuck, that is it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It was The Matrix 3.
As I was going through my first playthrough in that game, I was doing, just looking up reviews and whatever on YouTube, and I saw a lot of complaints about the ending. I didn't want to watch the ending.
Right.
Not until I got to it, myself.
Right.
I was like, well, why is everybody talking about how the ending sucks? Let me see for myself. I beat the game, I saw the ending, saw the credits, and then I was frozen. I was like, that was terrible. was absolutely terrible. Yeah. I went to work the next night, and I talked to my buddy there that was also playing the game. I was like, dude, why? Why did it suck so bad? Why? I tried to like it. I really did. I tried to like it. I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. But,
three different
colors of explosions.
Where is my epic ending where I get the girl, I save the fucking galaxy, and,
it's in another game, buddy.
You know?
Your ending is in another castle.
Yeah. Fucking A, man. And I was just so disappointed by that. But enough about disappointment. I'll tell you something I am super fucking excited about.
What is that?
The Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, yes.
Now, I just signed up to get into the closed beta. And it was like filling out a fucking job application, to be honest with you. Like, it was, like, they encourage you to fill out all the additional parts of it to give you a better chance of getting in. And I got an above average rating. I don't know how you get any more than an above average rating, because I filled in a ton of shit, including any other MMOs that I've tested.
Mm-hmm.
And I still only just got above average. And there's a section where you can write, like, why should we choose you? And I wrote a goddamn paragraph. And a half of all the Elder Scrolls games that I've played, how many hours I've put into them, how much I love the Elder Scrolls, pick me, because I'm going to honestly tell you what's wrong and what's right, and if I find glitches, because I want this game to be the best game ever. And I'm telling you right now, I think this game is a game changer in the MMO market.
Yeah.
First things first, let's talk about servers. No longer are you going to have to pick through a static list of servers.
Can't say it plural, singular.
Yeah.
One mega massive server.
Mega server.
Everybody's on the same server.
Yes. Now, here's where it gets better, though. You're still going to be in different sections of the game. Everybody's going to be on the same server, yes. But depending on the questionnaire that you fill out before you get into the game as to what kind of a game experience you would like, you're going to be placed in a different type of game. So say you're a PvP quester and you also like role-playing. Well, you're going to be asked those questions. And if you're just a role-playing guy and you don't really care about PvP, you can go into a thing that's going to be right for you. So depending on what you answer, you're going to be placed into something that's going to be tailor-designed for how you want to play the game. Which is a first. Normally it's like pick a server, is it PvP or role playing, and that's pretty or PvE. It's pretty much your only choices, and you pick a name and hope that you know who's in there if you have friends and something like that. This is completely open, and if you have friends that are gonna be playing the game, you can link up before anybody even gets in there and then know where your friends are going to be. And there's different packs. There's three factions. There's the Ebonheart Pact. I forget the Outmerry Dominion one with the High Elves and whoever. I'm going for the Ebonheart Pact because it's, you know, I play a Dark Elf in every Elder Scrolls.
Every single one.
Every one of them.
There's no, hey, buddy, well, what'd you start this Elder Scrolls with? No, I know exactly what he's starting with. This guy's going to be a Dark Elf.
Always.
Looking freaking sinister as all get out.
Yeah, dude, it's so sinister. The Ebonheart Pact is the Dark Elves, the Argonians, and the Nords, which I really want to be a part of that. I think that's going to be hella fun.
Well, buddy, I'll tell you right now, we ain't going to be friends on that shit. Khajiit, all the way, right here.
Yeah, but the thing is you can still be a Khajiit and still be part of the Ebonheart Pact. That's the beauty of it. The Elder Scrolls is going to play exactly like any Elder Scrolls game has ever played. You are going to be able to be whatever you want, wherever you want, and whoever you want. And unlike normal MMOs that we're used to dealing with, if you want to be a battle mage with full armor and still have sneak out of the world and be a thief, you can be. This game is going to play just like Skyrim in that sense, where highly customizable, you're able to take on any role you want, and the fact that it even says you have classes is just a suggestion as to what kind of base model character you're going to be.
Yeah.
So, you can be anything you want. Anything. And do anything. Fully interactive environments. You can steal, you can do everything you've ever done in an Elder Scrolls game. And no cooldowns between powers, ladies and gentlemen. No more do you have to unleash a spell and wait a few seconds for it to charge back up. It's all real time. Everything is real time.
That's what's up.
And say you're in a group and you've got a hell of a good archer in your group, but you're a mage. Well, if he's firing a volley of arrows into a crowd, into a big crowd of enemies, you can add fire to those arrows. Now you can augment attacks with people in your group to take on difficult enemies.
Oh, so what, do you like set up a flame wall or something, and as the arrows go through?
No, like you can literally just throw the flames like on it and augment his arrows mid-flight? As they're flying. Yeah.
Ooh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, and say you're a conjurer and you want to conjure up some guys to help you out in a fight. Were you just in a group with some warriors and a thief? You can do anything, man. It's completely open. All the lore is there. There's over 1,000 different books that are fully readable and accessible, and they do the same things that they do in Skyrim and all the other Elder Scrolls. They can give you powers.
Let me tell you, when I first hopped into Skyrim, I was like, man, every piece of literature I find, I'm going to read it front to back. No.
No.
No. I'm sorry. I tried. I really did. But I was like, nah, man, I'm in the middle of a quest. I can't be sitting here reading this shit.
There's achievements.
Getting sidetracked.
There's achievements built into the game. In fact, if you collect a certain amount of books, you get an achievement for it in that game. So you're encouraged, if you're a mage, obviously, to have a huge library. And you're going to be able to do these things. And Cyrodiil, the capital, is a war zone. Every day, factions will be squaring off in this war zone for 200 on 200 battles, with catapults of fire and mages and everybody just on the screen, just waylaying each other.
And lag. And
no lag. I'm telling you, it's going to be beautiful. I mean, sure, it's going to run into its problems first. You know, every game does. They're gonna have to, you know, iron out the kinks.
Yeah.
But imagine 200 on 200 battles. Okay, and whatever faction wins these big battles and controls Cyrodiil gets to crown their number one PvP player in that clan or in that faction the Emperor. You actually can affect the game itself and be crowned the Emperor of Tamriel.
You know, once you gain Emperor status,
you're a target
on your fucking head. One.
Yeah, this guy, kill him. And I'm sure it's going to give you some little icon over your head that's like, this
They're
guy.
They're nasty. This guy's the Emperor.
Yeah.
Let's get him.
Yeah.
Get him, boys.
But I can't wait, man. I am so excited. I can't wait. Bethesda, ZeniMax, thank you so much for doing this. It's going to be an Elder Scrolls that never ends. And I can't tell you how much of my life that will take. Because I am not even close to being done with everything in Skyrim, so I can't even imagine this. But
Speaking of taking lives,
what's up?
Porn star Ron Jeremy is in critical condition.
Critical condition?
With a heart aneurysm.
A heart aneurysm?
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
I mean, I've heard of brain aneurysms. Like, you never hear about a heart aneurysm. So what's happening with that?
Well, apparently he's fighting for his life in a Los Angeles hospital. He drove himself there.
Drove himself?
Yeah, he had chest pains, and they discovered that it's an aneurysm. He was transferred to an intensive care unit. Dude's 59. He's been in more than 2,000 adult films.
Just adult films, 2,000?
Yeah. Well, it says pornography and non-porno.
Yeah, because I know he's done some regular films, guest spots and stuff.
Yeah, I highly doubt he's done enough non-porn films to really.
So 1,998 porn films.
But yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Can you imagine
the hedgehog?
What does it tell you? How many women he's actually fucked?
No, not on here. I'm sure he could find
out. Well, he's got to be beyond Manute Bol status.
He's up there. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
Was it Manute Bol that fucked all those chicks? Or was it that other tall some bitch? I don't know. I think it was Manute Bol.
And there's actually other news concerning this cat. Apparently, he was recruited to help snag some cannibal guy, some Canadian cannibal.
Whoa. He was recruited, let me get this straight, to track down and capture a Canadian porn star turned cannibal?
Actually, to lure a Canadian porn star turned cannibal.
With what, his fat ass? Like, come and get it, I'm here, Ron Jeremy. I've got plenty of meat on these bones.
Some animal rights group apparently tapped him and the Barbie twins as bait. They wanted to, because he's a Canadian porn star, they wanted him to be like, hey, buddy, let's, you know, shoot a flick, come on over. And he's supposed to, you know,
show up and then they
arrest him, yeah.
Okay, now, here's my question. What's the story behind this dude? What's his name?
All right, accused Canadian cannibal Luca Magnotta. I may be butchering that name, but that's okay. He butchered some Asian dude.
No.
was on the radar of animal rights activists long before he was a murder suspect in the gruesome death of Montreal student Jun Lin. All right. The actor who appeared in... Oh, no, that's about Ron Jeremy. Okay. Now, the plan, according to Jeremy, was that he would invite Magnotta, a small-time Canadian porn actor, to Los Angeles to supposedly appear in an X-rated flick. Once Magnotta showed up on the set, activists would apprehend him, blah, blah, blah. And then Jeremy came on and said, it's like an episode from some TV show. The guy comes to the set with lube in one hand and Schmeckle in the other, thinking he has a job, and the cops tackle him to the ground. That's good for the movies, but that doesn't work in real life. That definitely sounds like something he would say.
It does. It's crazy.
Now, this cat, let me tell you, this Magnotta guy looks soft. He looks kind of creepy.
That guy, wow. What kind of tank top is that?
That
looks
know.
Like one of those tank tops you'd wear when you were like a little kid.
In the 70s.
Yeah, in the 70s. That's really weird looking. I'm gonna post his picture on the Yeah, I Said It Facebook page if you guys want to see this guy. What a strange little fucker that guy is. Now, he ate the Asian guy.
Yeah, he ate some Asian guy.
The whole guy?
I don't know. It doesn't really touch on that. But actually, the animal rights activists, they wanted him not for the cannibalism, because who gives a shit about humans?
Yeah, no.
They actually want him because he posted a video on the internet of himself killing kittens. And then he claims, oh, it wasn't me. Bullshit. All right? Well, internet doesn't lie.
Well, here's my question. Was he killing the kittens and then selling them to the Asian guy for his dad's restaurant? So maybe that was the connection?
Quite possibly. I don't know, man. That could be how this shit works out.
And, like, did the Asian guy, like you know, before, like, when the guy was, like, going to eat him, be like, no, you don't want me. You'll be hungry 20 minutes later. You want something like Italian. Fill you up. You know?
I can see it right now.
Yeah.
Dude's laid out on a table. Homeboy's got a fork and knife. Right. He's just taking a little chunk out of his thigh.
Oh.
He's like, you don't want me. He's like,
well, okay.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, so he puts a little duck sauce on him and he gets him down. But, like, my whole thing is.
He gets a quacking.
You kill the guy. Okay, so obviously you've graduated now from killing kittens because they can defend themselves. So you kill the Asian guy. Now, what makes you want to eat him? Like, where does that come from? Because there's been a lot of cannibalism lately. There's been several cases recently in the news of cannibalism.
You got to be in a very special place, I'm guessing, to eat somebody. Maybe he killed the guy and was, like, freaking out. He's like, fuck, man, what am I going to do with this body? I'll eat it.
Yeah.
No evidence. I can eat it. No, fucker. You feed it to starving pigs. That's what they did in Snatch.
Yep.
Watch movies.
And Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal. No.
Yeah, and all of them.
All the movies that make sense.
It's year 2013. If you don't know how to dispose of a body,
yeah.
Kill yourself. Become one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this fucker was caught in Germany, and,
The fuck was he doing in Germany? Obviously, he fled Canada.
I don't know, but he was extradited to Canada, and fucking, yeah, he's caught.
Well, obviously.
He's done for, man, that's it.
That's so wild, man. But, like, who recruits Ron Jeremy? Like, Ron Jeremy, crime fighter.
Busting crime, frizz, buddy.
Yeah, Ron Jeremy is super crime fighter. You know, like,
and of course, you can't forget the Barbie twins are in the mix, too.
That's just, this sounds like a porno. Like,
sounds like a really cheesy TV show. It really does.
That turns into a porn.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I applaud porn people for trying to make real movies and with fucking in them. Like, I really wish there was, like, real movies. Like, real movies, you know? Like, that have good actors in them. Where, like, the love scene is real and graphic fucking. You know?
Closest was Watchmen.
Yeah, Watchmen.
That was hot.
That love scene was pretty damn good.
He owl banged the shit out of her, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't lie. When her mom was getting raped, though, I had a half chub.
Oh, no, I had full chub.
Yeah.
Full chub during the rape
scene. And I don't go for rape or nothing like that. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not standing behind rape, but
she's
damn
had.
It, when it's caught on film, you know it's fake.
She's had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inspected.
He inspected her, all right.
Yeah, inspector gadget. Come inspect my gadget. Ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da. Woo-woo.
Oh, man. So, okay. I started collecting comics again.
I know, I was there.
Look, we're recording a podcast, man. I'm talking to more than just you.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying I was there.
So, as I'm sure you guys know by now, guys and gals, we like to record our podcast over by some comic shop named Heroes Landing.
Yep.
And I meet this fucker in there every Wednesday now.
Yep.
And you can't put a nerd like me in a situation like that and expect me to not give in. For the longest time, I've been telling myself, no, I'm done with comics. I collected them for a long time, got rid of them. It happened. I bought a box, and I bought a bunch of issues of the new He-Man.
The new He-Man is good. It's good.
I hope it is. I've yet to read it, but, like, I saw He-Man, and I saw that the first issue had a variant. I picked up the variant and the original.
Doing it upright. Have both. You know,
I'm missing two issues. I think they're up to six now. I'm missing 4 and 5. But yeah, 1, 2, 3, and 6.
But they're on order now.
Oh yeah, they're on order. They put me in the book. It's official.
Your name's on the list.
Yeah.
See, he's back into it. I have a fucking problem.
Yes. I'll say.
I have a problem going to the comic book store. I don't have willpower to not get every cool fucking thing that I see. I almost walked out of there with that Darth Vader statue. Now, that almost happened today.
Now, picture this. Every time I pull up here, I park my car, I get out, I look towards the shop, and I see him standing by the register.
True.
I walk in.
True.
And he's chit-chatting with the guy. I'm thinking, oh, his transaction is complete. No.
We're adding.
They've already rung up all the comic books he's buying. But then there's always these little knickknacks here and there. Like, for instance, today I think there were a couple action figures that he picked up.
Oh, yeah. Super awesome.
And he'll sit there doing the math, figuring out what he's got in his account, what he's got coming in. And he's like, what's that? How much is that over there? That magazine. $20? Yeah, throw it on there. And they just keep adding more and more stuff, and this guy ends up spending like a ridiculous amount of money. I mean, he does work two jobs. Yeah. Man works his ass off, so he definitely deserves to enjoy the fruits of his labor.
Yeah. But damn it.
But damn it. What a nerd. What else he got?
Yeah,
throw that on there.
Yeah.
Man, hold on a second.
What?
Do the math. All right, we're going to throw that on there. And actually, I got a little extra to spend. Why don't you throw that in there, too? It is too funny. We don't get out of there for like a good 10, 15 minutes.
No. And it's really bad because, like, I go in there today. I'm like, okay, I just have a few issues to pick up in my pool. I know he got some Star Wars figures in. He said he got some Ninja Turtles comics, original run. What do you got? You know, so I'm thinking maybe I'm at the most I'm going to spend $50. That was my limit. I walk out of there $93 light, and I'm fucking on the way. So
but that's all right, because you got a massive nerd boner, just, you know.
I know, but I have nowhere to... I'm running out of places to put things.
You gotta keep that in check, man. You start knocking shit off the shelf.
Oh,
you break it, you bought it.
Well, today, I had to get the two action figures. That was fucking mandatory,
yes,
because one
absolutely.
Of them...
If you didn't, I would.
Yeah. One of them was an original vintage Boba Fett. Not still in the box. It was out of the box. It's loose. But with the blaster pistol. So, and no paint scuffs on it at
none.
All.
None.
Cherry.
Immaculate.
This thing is fucking cherry. And I got a Wicket the Ewok with his stick, his spear. Also, with no paint chipped off of it, in perfect mint condition.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Had to get those. And I also picked up 5 original Ninja Turtles comics. One of them being number 2. So, so if that lets you know where I'm rolling, that's what I'm rolling.
How we roll.
Yeah, I got the new Superior Spider-Man. I picked up all my other subs. And by God, I almost walked out of there with a Darth Vader Artifacts Kotobuki statue, and I can't. It's hard, man. It's so hard.
Dude, I know, but...
I've got to stop. I've really got to stop doing it, because I can't. I spend too much. I go in there, I'm like, Todd, you got to hear dollar signs when I come through the door. He's like, yeah, you and several other people. It's like I can close the store now and go home. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
You know, I feel bad that I spend the money, but I also feel good because, you know, there's not a lot of comic book stores left, man. There's just...
Not just that, but, like, when you get home... It's not just watch TV, watch movies, play video games. You can put some music on and just read a comic book.
Yeah.
Who the fuck does that anymore?
This guy.
And now this guy.
Oh.
But
it's so good,
it's
though, man.
It's something that I personally haven't really done seriously since I was in high school.
And now I think is a good time to get back into comics, man. I'm going to tell you why, because there is a lot of really good shit going on. Now, if you're going to go collecting...
Almost too much.
Yeah, it really is. Like, if you're going to go collecting them for dollar value, it's almost like the 1990s. Good luck, you know, because everything from the 90s now is pennies on the dollar because it was so overproduced. But where you are finding value... In today's comic market, is in the variant covers, and also very much so in a lot of the special editions that they're doing, the new annuals that are coming out, and like all the special guest artist spots and stuff. They're finding a lot of value in those, and if you get anything Walking Dead, it's fucking golden. I mean, the first issue just sold for $10 million.
Say what?
Yeah, it's $10 million. Yeah, $10 million. The first issue.
I want to start collecting Walking Dead. Yeah, man.
Well,
start getting
the trade paperbacks and go from there.
Because how long ago did Walking Dead?
2003.
I had no idea it was going on for that long.
Yeah, it's up to 107 now. It was the fastest moving comic in value, I think, in comic book history. I may be wrong on that, but it fucking...
$10 million.
$10 million, dude. For a number one. If you find that some old lady has that at a garage sale, rip her the fuck off and don't even feel bad. Walk out of there. Walk out of there knowing... Like, you know, give her a few extra bucks more than she wants for it and have a clear conscience, okay? But get the fuck out of there with it before her son Timmy finds out it's gone.
Nah, fuck that. I'll buy it for a buck and sleep like a baby.
Yeah, you know, not even a fucking little bit. And you want to know why I would sleep like a baby? Because as much as I'd want to keep that, who's to say that 10 years from now, anyone's going to give a fuck about Walking Dead, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
Now,
it's like the stock market, dude. You got to sell while it's hot.
And right now is the time to move that bad boy out. It is time to do that because $10 million is a lot of fucking cheddar, brother. And that could put so many people on the path to being all right with life.
Put a lot of food on the table.
Oh, man. I tell you, if I win that Powerball tonight, son, he'll be like, I'm calling in. Be like, hey. I'm rich, bitch! I quit! I got enough cools to last me and my family for life! Ah, fucking dude, I can't tell you what. I've already decided what I'm going to do with the Powerball money if I win. Okay, it's $150 million. I'll take it as one lump sum. I'll get 75.
Which is still
ridiculous.
Damn good.
I put my nephews through college. I'll build my dad a cabin up in Tennessee like he wants. Then, I'm going to build a fucking compound. I'm going to move out in the middle of fucking nowhere where all you see is a dirt road for like a half a mile before you even see any house. I'm going to build you a pad a little ways away from mine. I'm going to build mine.
Damn right.
I'm going to build my pad, and then I'm going to build a theater on it. Like, not a full size, but a nice little in-home theater. Going to get a fucking special building, fireproofed, built for my collections with a badass security system. It's a badass four-wheeler so we can go riding around the fucking property on.
Hell yeah.
And then I'm going to sit on my happy fucking ass and do nothing. And be content. I mean, yeah, I'm going to travel and I'm going to go to every fucking con there is probably. And
yeah.
I'll be able to go to all my Bucks games now and not have to worry about having to go to work afterwards and none of that shit. I'll get skyboxes. I don't give a fuck. You know, like the life. And that's if I win. Chances are, I wasted $2. But, if I did win, you'll know next week on the podcast. Because after that, it's going to be, I don't know, we'll probably still do the podcast. But
oh, yeah.
But it'll be a lot cooler. We'll have a lot more guests on. We'll have real fucking famous people.
Hey, I got money in a podcast.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Yeah,
like, and I'll record it.
Yeah, hell yeah, I'll get Adam West on. I'll get anybody I want on. Fucking whatever. I got money, I'll throw it around. Shit. Just hire sluts to come on and talk shit too. Like, hey, slut, let's talk. Here's $20. What do you got to say? Hey, speaking of the microphone, honey, we can't hear you. I don't care what they tell you.
I didn't let it out for air.
Hey, I don't care. Whoever the fuck said money can't buy you happiness was broke. Okay? There's a homeless guy. He's like, money can't buy me happiness. Yes, it can. Yes, it most certainly can. I don't know. I don't know about you, but having a shitload of money would definitely make me a happy guy.
Money.
Fuck yeah. And not only can money buy you happiness, it can buy you whores.
Yes.
And that's happiness right there. At least for some time.
Some time. These flowers are wilted. Call the florist.
Yeah. And I'm done with this one.
And that one was pretty good. I'll probably give her a second.
I'd like to be like the new Hugh Hefner, you know? Like Hugh Hefner, but actually with money. You know, because... He's broke, man.
Is he?
Playboy's bankrupt, man. Like they're gonna take the mansion. Like he's,
wow.
Yeah, he's broke.
Oh, hey, he had a good run.
Look, nobody buys fucking magazines anymore, okay? He should have been off to the internet and to videos a long time before he was. And by the time Playboy got into the video market and the television porn market, people were way past him.
Yeah.
Gone. Light years ahead. You know.
Tell you what, though, man. They did get a lot of chicks that you normally wouldn't think would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, naked spread.
And they still do. They still do.
What was the most recent one that you could think of?
I don't know. Lindsay Lohan?
Oh, yeah. I saw that one. That was nice.
Yeah, you know, there's just something about that chick. I know she's a complete train wreck.
Total.
But god damn it, do I want to gag her with my fucking junk. She is fucking, I don't know what it is, man. I want to bang her silly.
I want to sit her down and be like, look, you're a mess. This is your life and blah, blah, blah. And then when she starts crying, just whip it out and like slap those tears with my dick and then use that as lube and just start
hate fucking the shit out of her. Dry your eye. Here comes your mom with them two little guys.
Here comes my dick with my two little guys.
Yeah.
Let out.
Oh, dude, I would, like, wreck her. She'd come out looking worse than when she came in. You know?
Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
I wonder if it's looking like hamburger meat.
I wonder if it smells bad down there, because she's got to have been banged by, like, half of Hollywood. You know? Cause someone
or one, half of Hollywood's pool boys.
Yeah. Half of Hollywood's concierge.
Thanks for taking my bag to my hotel room. That was so sweet. Want to fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do some coke.
I wonder how many valets have gotten off with Lindsay Lohan. I'll pay you $100 if you tell the judge you were driving.
It'd be great to be your dealer. Here's your blow. Now do your job.
Yeah.
Man, blow job.
Like, you know you're in a different place when you give a blow job for drugs. Like, you know? I mean, yeah, it's one thing if you're a girl and you're doing it, but like if you're a guy and you're giving another dude a blow job for coke, you've reached the high end of low. You know what I mean?
You can have your coke, but you gotta get it off my dick.
Oh, okay. I didn't think I was gonna be participating in a sheenus tonight. Thank you. You know? Oh, man, you know what? You know who's got a new album out and it's fucking good? Marilyn Manson.
He's got a good album out?
New album, Born Villain, man.
Is he on his own label?
I didn't check to see when I downloaded it illegally, but I will tell you, it's fucking good. And if I cared to pay money for it, I really would. It was a good album.
If you could find it at stores.
if you can find a CD, really, honestly, like, I think they have them at Walmart, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And they're all edited, so. No, but it's really good, man. It's very minimalist on the electronics. Heavy bass lines. Real guitars in it again.
Who's he got playing bass for him?
I don't know, but fuck, heavy bass line, dude.
Because I know Twiggy left long-ass time ago. He went to do Perfect Circle,
well,
I think.
Came back for a while. I think Twiggy may actually be back in the band at this point. I'm not sure. I know he came back for a while recently and did some stuff with him.
I was real happy for him when he moved on, man, because
he just got no love there. He wasn't appreciated.
Manson doesn't know how to treat his musicians, bro. He really doesn't.
Or people in general. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. Have you seen that video of him kicking
John Five in the face,
bro? It's like, here's this incredibly talented guitarist. You're lucky to have him in your ranks.
Yeah.
And he's up there on stage playing one of your biggest hits. They were playing The Beautiful People.
Yeah, and he kicks him in the face.
And he goes up and fucking kicks him in the face. And the dude gets furious.
Well,
breaks character, throws the guitar down. He fucking squares up like he's going to punch him. And then he says something to him like, yo, you're getting paid or something like that. And so they bring him another guitar, and he straps it on, just keeps playing.
Yeah,
I'm
but
like,
that was it, though. That was it after that. That was pretty much. I think he actually played the tour out as a consummate professional, and then said his goodbyes.
Good for John Five, dude, because that is one talented.
He's bad.
Talented guitarist. If you've never heard any of his solo stuff, do yourself a favor, look it up.
Well, I read an article in Guitar World about him, and he's had a really rough life. for every great success he's had as a guitarist, he's had a family member die.
Ooh.
It's crazy. I think, like, I can't remember the exacts. I think it's like his parents died all, at like the same time. Like, he had a sister die, and then, like, I mean, yeah, it was just,
oh.
And in a short time span too. And like, he turned, you know, tragedy into triumph. He's fucking amazing. And I remember he said in the interview, he originally moved to Hollywood to be a studio guitarist and do session work for people. And he never really wanted to be out there in the limelight, but then he just kind of got thrust into it because of how good he was.
Yeah.
And when other musicians would come to have him work on their stuff, they would hear him and be like, what the fuck? Are you serious? Like, the man is amazing.
Yeah,
and, right. You know, yeah, Manson was fucking... should have counted his lucky fucking stars to have somebody like that on board with him.
Yeah, and to even have him consider to play with Manson, like...
Well, the new album, there's no whining about stupid bitches or any of that stuff.
Yeah, him and his broken heart. Look, motherfucker, get over it. You got money.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
If you got money, you got a wet dick. If you got a wet dick, you got no problems.
You're a happy guy. Yeah, you know, so... It's edgy, it's hard again, and, I mean, granted, there's some girl stuff in there, obviously, but it's not that whiny, broke my heart, and I'll break your heart-shaped glasses.
Like, what's the subject matter? Is it, I mean, there's not really a whole lot of issues for him to push anymore. Like,
I like the new, I like his, the one song called No Reflection, where he's basically talking about himself being a vampire. He's like, one of the lyrics is, I don't know which me that I love, I've got no reflection, and it's pretty good song.
Hmm.
I've heard that one before. I didn't know it was off that album. But everything else, man, it's pretty cool. It's 1 hour and 6 minutes, so it's a good length.
Oh, wow.
And there's no cut between each song.
It's like a constant mix, like a steady. Wow.
It's like it's kind of like Antichrist Superstar in the sense that everything's kind of runs into each other.
Yeah, but you can't listen to that album on shuffle.
Right.
you gotta listen from start to finish.
But you could skip songs in this one and not have a problem because it doesn't run like Antichrist does, where it overlaps and gets all jumbled. But I listened to the whole thing for the whole hour, and I was just like, I didn't like every song, obviously.
Yeah.
But there was noteworthy stuff in there, and I'm impressed because it was almost like, because the album came about when him and Shia LaBeouf actually met and took a walk around LA and showing each other places that they'd been to, and like where Shia grew up, things and stuff like that, like. And, like, you know, where each of them had memories in that area. And they just walked around L.A. together, talking. They wrote a book called Born Villain together. And then that's where this album came out of. So this album actually has something behind it. So it's actually got some kind of tangible something that you can be like, oh, okay. And...
this book's out?
Mm-hmm. And,
check that out.
And, it's not his typical... anti-God, anti-society kind of shtick. It's something a little bit different. Obviously, there's things from all of that in there. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Manson. But it's basically like a journey, a personal journey.
That's where he draws a lot of his dark imagery and what have you anyway.
This one is very... The cover of the album, album artwork and stuff like that is very very different. It's very like glam... dark, like a gothic chic almost, like you it's just him on the front with a white face, like long slick black hair coming down the front. You can see the one contact, which is different than any of the ones he's ever worn, and dark lipstick, and like the lettering is very cool, but it's very minimalist. The whole album is very minimalist. It's not overproduced, it's not over electronic. There's a real guitarist on it again instead of that electronic guitar that he's been throwing in everything because he had no one to work with.
Yeah.
And his past few albums, it was very apparent that he was not able to get musicians to really be on board.
Yeah, I'll say.
Can you blame him, though, honestly?
Heart-shaped glasses. Yeah. What was that?
All of that stuff. Ugh. It was just so terrible. And a friend of mine, she's the one that sent me the link to check it out. And she's like, look, Manson's got his groove back. And I couldn't believe it until I heard it. And I was just like, Okay. I can dig this. I would go see this show. I would go see
Manson this. Got his groove back.
Yeah.
He walked around with LaBeouf.
Yeah, he walked around with Shia LaBeouf. He got transformed. Yeah, I don't, you know, honestly, I mean, I don't know Shia LaBeouf. He might be a cool guy, but I can't walk around L.A. with Shia LaBeouf. I don't think I'd have a good time.
No.
I'd be like, hey, Shia, where's the whores? Let's go do coke and get whores. I know you know some. It's Hollywood.
I have to stay clean. I'm going to be Indiana Jones.
No! Oh, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about
They're
it.
They're raping
him. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. You know, honestly, there's a big part of me that's glad George Lucas is not involved in Star Wars anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, did I tell you they got a director?
Really? Those are some pretty big shoes to fill. Who
they J.J. get? Abrams.
Mr. Star Trek.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Now, you got to, like, look, he did a damn good job with the new Star Trek. Excellent
job with the new Star Trek. Yeah. It actually... dare I say, looked kind of like Mass Effect.
Have you seen the new game? It is Mass Effect. I don't know. BioWare about to sue somebody, dog. I'm talking about...
I haven't seen the new game.
Well, really? When we get done with the podcast, break your phone out and put in gameplay trailers for the new Star Trek. I mean, they run like Mass Effect. The guns look like Mass Effect. There ain't no phase. This guy pulled out a big-ass rifle, a phaser rifle, and it looked... like a gun on Mass Effect.
Did it, like, fold open as he pulled it out? Oh, Mass Effect. Wow.
I'm telling you, watch it. I'm saying BioWare is going to sue somebody.
BioWare and Drew K. They going to have a field day with you.
No, dude, it's bad. It's bad. I mean, the game looks good, but only because it looks like Mass Effect. And yeah, I'm like, I'd play it. I played it before. I'll play it again.
Can't go wrong with that formula.
Yeah, so J.J. Abrams is now Star Trek and Star Wars. That is pretty big.
That's like Sonic and Mario, bro.
It's crazy. Well, here's the crazy part, though. Like, he's going to be so busy with the next Star Wars. The new Star Trek's coming out, but Paramount's going to want him to direct the third one. And, sorry. he's directing a much bigger franchise.
So it's official it's going to be J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, it is official. J.J. Abrams.
Oof.
Yeah. You know, and big shoes to fill and a short amount of time to really get this done. They're saying 2015. We're
yeah. I was just thinking it's about gonna, that. 2015, bro. We already started at 13. Yeah, you got like a year and some change.
Yeah, you need to really be already in production at this point, or close to being in the full swing of things.
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't
force be with them.
Yeah, I for real. I honestly don't know how 2015 is going to be viable. Maybe holiday 2015, but Star Wars is a summer blockbuster. So you're talking if it's going to be summer 2015. Yo, they need to get to moving. Because that means that's going to be crazy.
I want to be an alien. I want to be an alien in Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, right?
Sign me up.
So, okay, we got MegaCon coming up March 17th through the 20th, I believe, in Orlando. If that date's wrong, somebody, feel free to correct me, but I'm going. It's going to be fun. This guy's coming with me. We're going to be doing some podcast action down at MegaCon.
Believe it. Looking for some people to interview.
We're not going to be going to E3, unfortunately. I got a hold of a representative from E3, Karen. She was a really nice lady. Press credentials, she said, have been really tight as of late. And we basically would have to be working for, like, Game Informer or a big publishing firm.
Or we'd have to have a lot more listeners.
Yeah, and a lot more money because it would have cost us $900 a ticket to get in otherwise. I could go by myself because of who I work for, but as far as us getting in to do the podcast and interview people and actually be at E3, it's not going to happen. Podcast people were allowed in before, and like I said, if you're a big podcaster, like if you're like, you know, Force.net or some of those guys, you're definitely going to be able to get into something like that. But we weren't able to do it. We tried. We gave it our all. So, but, you know, hey, here's hoping at some point we'll be able to do that. We're definitely going to be getting to Comic-Con next year. And so we'll be at MegaCon, and we're going to be trying to – I tried to get a hold of Will Wheaton because he's going to be there. And
Will Wheaton.
Yeah, he didn't tweet me back yet. So, but I'm gonna keep trying. Will Wheaton has his own beer. He's a brewer. I would love to talk to him. Not
with
so much
a name
about
like
Star
Wheaton
Trek.
And he,
yeah,
I think it's like that Will, is incredible.
Yeah, like Will Wheat beer or something. I don't know, but I want to try it. I heard it's really good. So, I would love to actually talk to him about his microbrewery stuff more than I would Star Trek, obviously. and the Big Bang. I mean, basically his beer and the Big Bang Theory would be really what I'd want
to
talk about.
I'm going to have to think up some Star Trek questions because my mom absolutely adores
Wesley
Next Generation.
Crusher and stuff and all the kids.
Well, basically that particular series, The Next Generation, she loves that shit.
Right. And also, if you guys are in New Jersey, also coming up in March is the Asbury Park Comic Con, man. Rob Bruce is putting that on. He's one of the friends of the guys from Comic Book Men, and it's going to be really good. They're going to have Herb Trimpe up there, which is one of the co-creators of Wolverine. So if you've got your Hulk 180 and 181, go get that sign. If you got Wolverine number one, go get that sign, because by itself it's $30, but I'm sure with Herb Trimpe's autograph, it'd be worth a lot more.
30 times whatever.
Whatever, exactly. But Asbury Park Comic Con's really cool, man. These guys just started it last year. And it's already grown to a way bigger thing. Plus, a lot of the proceeds are going to go to helping rebuild New Jersey after Hurricane Sandy. So they're doing a big benefit for that as well, and that's a good cause.
It's always a good thing.
So if anybody's in New Jersey that listens to us, or you plan on getting up there, do it, man. Go to Asbury Park Comic Con. It's going to be really cool. We're going to have a blast at MegaCon, though, man. Like the entire Next Generation cast is going to be there pretty much. Oh, plus Lou Ferrigno is going to be hanging out like he always does, and I hope to nab him. You know, I'll tell you who we'll probably be able to get if he's there is Warwick Davis, because he's a hell of a guy. He'll talk to us. He's super cool. If Rob Liefeld,
met him, I didn't get to.
If Rob Liefeld's there, we're going to punch him in the nuts. you know, we'll do
him a freaking hematoma in the back of the head.
We're gonna do
an elbow.
Yeah, we're gonna do what we can. I'm bringing my X-Men to get signed by Chris Claremont, so maybe we'll be able to get a little soundbite with Chris Claremont. That would be freaking awesome.
Chris Claremont, you want to answer some questions? No, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
What is that? A microphone? Go away! Go away! That's all we could get from Chris Claremont.
I don't care. That'd be awesome. That'd be fucking hilarious. I mean, come on. Chris Claremont tells us to fuck off on a brand new Yaz setting. Fuck you guys. I'm Chris Claremont. It'd be like Wolverine in the X-Men First Class. be like, hi, I'm Charles Xavier. Be like, hi, I'm Eric Lyncher. And be like, yeah, go fuck yourself. You seen that, right? X-Men First Class?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, you're coming up. We're having movie day, brother. I'm going to catch you up on everything comic-wise.
Alrighty. I got to watch that new Spider-Man.
Yeah, that too.
Watch fucking everything. Well, I actually saw Avengers in theaters.
It was good. So yes. Good.
That was a damn good movie.
I can't wait, dude. Thanos? Oh. He looked so badass at the end credits when he turned his head and like gave that grin.
I saw some footage on YouTube. Mm. It was a CGI Galactus. I don't know what the source was. If it was
good?
In a movie, dude, it looked fantastic. Run a search on YouTube for Galactus CGI, and I mean from the picture that pops up, the thumbnail, you'll know which one it is.
Maybe we'll actually see a good Fantastic Four. Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're rebooting it.
But whoever did this Galactus, and I think they also have the Watcher on there.
Really?
The Seer, whoever.
The Watcher, Watcher. They got the big head.
Yeah. It's got him on there, too. Very well animated. It looks like it's a big budget.
No, you know, I think that's Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that's from the Guardians of the Galaxy movie coming out, the CG animated Marvel movie.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
I have to look that
up. Yeah, actually, you type in on YouTube Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that's probably going to be the same thing.
Just that small snippet of, like, it's kind of a close-up of Galactus' head, and he's, like, turning his head towards the camera. Oh, gave me chills. Hell yeah.
All right, well, we're gonna do that right when we get out of here of the podcast. We're going to be at MegaCon. So if you guys are at MegaCon, you'll be able to see us. We're going to have our Yeah, I Said It shirts on. So if you see us, come up to us, man. We'll interview you. We'll talk to you. We'd love to hang out with you and shoot the shit.
And shake some hands.
Yeah, and say hello to anybody.
Give you a good game.
Yeah, good game. Smack some asses.
You can give me a good game.
Yeah, also,
I'll take it.
Again, leave your comments. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Hit me up at my Twitter account at jchuduse. That's jchuduesz at twitter.com. Or check us out on our Yeah, I Said It Facebook page. And, there you go. That's going to wrap it up for this week. I'm Jesse Chuduse.
Kamal Kambanox Altash.
You guys have an awesome one. We'll see you later.
Peace.